My name is Larkin Post. I live on Matinic Island, which is off of Site D. I have a couple questions. The leases, is there any stipulation in the lease that these companies have to use local subs? Obviously, these companies aren't local companies, but is it possible, yeah, subcontractors, is it possible they could bring in the entire engineering survey crew and have it completely out of Maine, very little actual economic impact in Maine on these sites?
You know, there's nothing in the law that says that, but I can tell you from experience in Eastport with the Tidal Power project that they're using locals whenever they can, and you know they've even calculated what some of the economic the benefits to local businesses has been, and it's really significant. And they've just had, you know, they've just been testing a turbine, so. But the service industry, the industry that's helping tow the equipment out, I mean, it's been pretty significant.
The two things. One, in the leasing process, there is a requirement to describe what your local benefit, your economic benefit is. So there's definitely consideration of that. But more to the point, for example, the Maine Wind Industry Initiative is an industry group that's been forming over the last year, looking at the whole supply chain supporting the current land-based wind industry in the state. And it's companies like Reed & Reed and a bunch of other construction companies and trucking companies, and it's even got folks that are the caterers who, you know, serve food to the crews when they're installing it. Most of the wind projects in Maine are being installed by local contractors and local subs. And I think one of the things that we're trying to develop and market that, in fact, the Maine Wind Industry Initiative folks, one of them did go on the trade mission to Spain and Germany, was to market Maine as a place to come, whether you're a place to develop wind, but also a place for these companies to help install and put in place. Companies like Reed & Reed and Sewell Company, SGC, Sargent Corporation, they're actually going around and building helping develop and support wind projects throughout the Northeast, Canada, and New England. So Maine is really developing a reputation as having quality companies that can support, install, and support these industries. And I think that's any company that comes to Maine that doesn't look at the local talent is going to be missing the boat altogether.
Another question I have several here, actually. We've been talking mostly about wind. The wave generators some of them have a different footprint. Thinking specifically of the undulation style, not the bobber style. Will they also have a larger exclusion zone, depending on actually the size of the unit? Because they're fairly long versus tall. And,
right. Yeah. I don't think we've had any conversations. We haven't had any real thorough discussions with wave technology developers who have been interested, so I don't think we've had the discussion of what the exclusion zone might be around those. In general, the exclusion zone issues have come from the companies who have a given technology and have discussed it with their insurance company, saying in order to provide insurance, liability, and et cetera, this is the type of exclusion zone they want. So those are great questions that need to be taken into consideration as soon as a wave technology comes forward that wants to.
How would that be enforced? Is it a Marine Patrol issue? Is it a Coast Guard issue?
I think it's Linda's she has to enforce it.
I'd say it's probably both Coast Guard and Marine Patrol. They work pretty closely together.
What does the University of Maine foresee as their monitoring and testing? Is it going to be mostly remote? Are they going to be a combination remote and on-site? Is there any, have you got that far into the
We actually started designing what a monitoring plan would look like, and a lot of it's based on Gumus buoy type technology. I mean, one of the first things that we do once we know what the site is, we'll move some Gumus buoys, we'll put Gumus type buoys out there with Met Tower, start collecting wind data, wave data. A lot of that's remotely operated, if you know the way the buoys operate now. A lot of it's cell phone technology. Once we actually get devices out there, and it's much like the Gumus buoys need regular maintenance, regular visits and things like that. We'll develop the monitoring for actual towers, which will probably have more frequent human visits depending on what actual testing is going on, how data is collected, whether it's stored on-site, whether it's transmitted back. So that's part of our Department of Energy program is building out that monitoring program.
Okay. Finally, this may be past the scope of this panel, but assuming this program goes forward and successful, what would panel think would be a realistic or an optimistic time frame to develop offshore wind sites?
I'd like to think it's in the in the 6 to 10 years before the economy and everything's in the right place, that the technology's proven. I mean, a lot of it's going to happen. I think we're going to be in a shorter time frame proving the technology. I think the economy of the world is going to drive the ultimate development, and I think price of oil and energy. Volatility is really going to be a big part of that.
Thank you. Like to say, I have my best guess. Yeah. I'm all for this project, by the way.
All for this project.
Thank you very much.
Hi. I've lived all along the coast, Mount Desert, Camden, Booth Bay Harbor, Biddeford, down the Wells area. I'm in the marine construction and systems business. I think we need to be thinking about maximizing the interface between the demonstration sites and the potential industry sites. And for that reason, I think it makes the most sense. I'm going to make a pitch for Planning Area B, which is the Georgetown to Bristol area. It's closest to BIW. It's closest to the main Yankee transmission lines. You've got the composite industry corridor, Brunswick, Bath, East Booth Bay. Washburn and Dowdy is in position to build and dock platform service vessels. You've got tug businesses. You've got deep water ports. The training, if indeed these businesses that come will hire local people, it just doesn't seem to make sense to me that people would be it will be a benefit for people to already be there and be trained and have their businesses set up. So I'm making a pitch for Air Planning Area B. I think that would be the best site to do it. I think it would have appeal to the industries.
Thank you. Any more questions tonight? Here we go.
Richard Nelson for Friendship. I guess I just we haven't taken care of all my fears of these things, and we've discussed it all. I've listened to some of these things, but I think there's still a cost. We talk about the cost of oil and the cost of energy that we're using now, but I don't think we've totally talked about the cost. All the ultimate costs of what we're thinking about here. And we talked about pushing it through without fast tracking and things like that, but there's a lot of, both as a fisherman and just as a citizen, I don't know exactly how to say it. I've been to California. I've seen these fields of wind. The wind farms. I've seen the oil derricks by the hundreds lined up along the roads for miles, which is just a similar type of thing. But, and to me, that's a cost compared to living in Maine and to what I see. And to me, I fear people saying out there, well, I'll be out there tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, early in the morning, I'll be approximately in this area near Manhattan. That'll be my office, just like your office may be in Augusta or wherever, Rockland or wherever tomorrow. Along with Mr. Post, the both posts, I'll be out there. And I guess One other question is, I think there's a shipping lane inside Manhegan. I don't know if anybody can speak to that. That's a different point, I guess. But, they pick up, there's oil barges and oil freighters that come through there and pick up pilots inside Manhegan. And I don't know if that hits that point. I would think it hits that western point on that map there, but maybe not. I guess that's it.
Is that perhaps why the north side of Manhegan is not included?
Yes.
So we've avoided that shipping lane because it would be on the north side beyond the area we've shown on there.
And the other thing that bothered me a little bit is that we started this whole thing talking about geophysical mapping of this thing. And to me, why don't we just say it's a political map? I mean, these are the only areas that are within the main borders that are deep enough to use.
That's right. And if
these islands are the places that Maine has their fingers in the pie, and that's all over 200 feet deep. That and two or three places down east, which you know. And people have mentioned that Maine is a place where the water drops off quickly. It doesn't do that in Maine, no. It doesn't, California. It drops right off. It does not in Maine. 200 feet is not very deep, and it doesn't happen very quickly in the Gulf of Maine. And I guess that one other point is, we talk about offshore, but offshore is just another percentage, another step. I mean, the Gulf of Maine, on a flat map, looks like you're going out somewhere, but the Gulf of Maine is encompassed. When you put it on the globe, when you draw a true map on a globe, it wraps its arms around you. There is no straight offshore. There is no out there. We have the Grand Banks and the different banks coming in, which are also no longer deep water as such. So, where are we going to go? How far are we going to go with these things? Where are they going to end up? Where's the dividing line between in here and out there?
We don't have the answer to that here tonight. That's another group of people that will look at what offshore is. And just to reiterate what's been said, yes, it's the geophysical set of information that narrowed down a coast to just really physical and geological features that could be areas, and therefore they're planning areas to consider. And then this evening tonight, your input tonight from your
comments. But I'm just saying that if Maine wants, it's a political thing. If Maine wants control, we have to be here, not there, because that's federal water, and this is state water. So let's just be honest about it.
That's exactly what
we want to be here. It's
the political boundary.
And the government has control over it, then whether or not if this place over here makes more sense, doesn't interest us, because it's a political decision.
I'd agree with what you're saying, because at some point someone's going to look at this and they're going to say, well, it makes more sense to be over here in federal water, and that's where we're going to go. And then it's going to be the federal government's decision, minimal management services to make that decision. So, what we're only talking about is where we can make the decisions.